And we're beginning on, I don't know, 15, 16 lines down on Hannah Bays. The previous section, we had spoken about a machlokas for Bishua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan as to what is the reason why we don't, why you have to say b'fanecha, the way the Gemara presented Rabbi Yishuv, the same machlokas Rav and Rabba. However, there is, the Gemara had a question about Rabbi Yishuv and Levi, but they never really contested the basic point that he holds that the concern was became the Shema. I mentioned the last year that I didn't understand the chronology because the Gemara had asked a lot of kashas against Rabba from Mishnayis that suggested that the concern was Mitzri and Makayma. So in the Maskana Rabba, the Gemara says Rabba also accepts Rabba's reason, but Rabba says, Rabba says that even though, and he explains certain things, certain statements for la'achar shalamdu, after they learn that you need the lishma, but generally speaking, which the Mishnah still goes there, even la'achar shalamdu, even once it became known to them that you require lishma, the Mishnah still has a requirement that you do it in most cases, except for milsa d'lashricha, because shema yasar hadavar l'kukula. So what I observed, I don't have any, I just want to remind you about this question. What I observed, and I didn't understand in the Gemara, and I looked in the Mishnah, but I can't find anything, which is that according to that reading of the Gemara, the Mishnais themselves that say, that Rabba interprets as saying, you have to say, b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta, and that's even la'achar shalamdu. Even la'achar shalamdu, the Mishnais were already taught, which means that the whole issue that arose, that they were not Lishma, they didn't know you needed Lishma, and then they learned that you needed Lishma, that only came about, before, that was before the Mishnah's time. And the Mishnah's already codifying in a time, the Mishnais and the Brises, when Medina, you shouldn't require the Fanei Nechtam for the Shema purposes, because remember, Rabba is Modet Rabba as well. But in those cases, it's required anyway for the Shema purposes. Let's say, whatever the case would be, it's required because Shema Yasa Zavala Kukula. So what I didn't understand is that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who in this piece that we just learned last week, or the week before last week, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who said that you do not need to say b'fanai nechtam anymore, because that was only true b'doros harishonim, of b'doros afronim neki and lishma, you don't need to. So he can't be speaking, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is after the Mishnah. And he doesn't hold the Yeshem Yasa or Dava L'Kukula. Whereas, in other words, and you can't say that the Takana was made after Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, but before Rabba, the Rabbi's third generation, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is like uber first generation, really first generation. It's hard to argue that because, according to Rabba, the Mishnais that are already working with Shema Yachzor, Dava L'Kukula, where it's not required Medina. So I don't really know how to parse the chronology here. I don't know how to parse the chronology at all. Anyway, but the bottom line is the Gemara says it's a machlokas Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, the same machlokas Rabba and Rabba, is a machlokas Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and the Rabba, and Rabbi Yochanan. So, sort of as an entree into the something that we're going to get from the bottom of the page, how do we paskin? I'm not asking you how do we paskin on the issue of Rabba and Rabba. I'm asking you how do we paskin on the machlokas of Yochanan and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Ephraim is thinking. So there's a klal that is attributed to Rabbeinu Tam. It's a hotly contested issue. Do we say that we always paskin with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi even against Rabba? It relates to a Gemara in Megillah in the, I think the fourth parak that talks about Beis Medrash and Beis Haknesses, which has greater Kedusha. And it has to do with reading certain psukim, as Kobayat HaGadol. And so there's a whole question, the machlokas, I think Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan have to read what the pshat in the pasuk is. Trying to see where that is in the Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. If you look at the top Tosfos, I'm asking you to look at it now. If you make a note and look at the top Tosfos on the Chav Zayin Amid Aleph in Megillah, it's a tiny little Tosfos. Tosfos writes, Mehecha Mashmat Alachak Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Legabi de Rabbi Yochanan. But if you take a look in Tosfos and Mechulin, and this is really, I mean, I learned Megillah a long time ago, many times actually, but I thought about the issue more because it's a very important Tosfos in Mechulin about the issue of Tam Ki Ikar, I believe it's on, Daf Tzadi Zayin. They make a reference to the side of the Tosfos, where the question, how do you paskin about Bittul, there's a Bittul B'shisha maybe, so may hinge heavily upon, partially at one point hinges upon whether we always possibly be sure that he gets a gilchot. So Tosfos and Mechulin explains why that Gemara may not be a raya at all about a general klal hapsach. But if there were a general klal hapsach, if there is one, it would be that we pass on to Yeshua ben Levi against Rabbi Yochanan, which would create interesting things in our sugya, at least initially or at first glance, because what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say again? What's the reason for the Tassana Fanei Nechtam originally? Shemi?
Because of Lishma problems?
Because of Lishma. Which I imagine, I did not read through it. I didn't have the time or make the time to read through the whole Rizit and the discussion later. I mean, I have Rashi Prakhtam, I know, and some of it I can see in the Rashba here. But it may be one of the Rivet's attempted Rayas that we should pass him like Rabbah, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon Levi. And if we, and as if we always pass Rabbi Shimon Levi against Rabbi Yochanan, so that Rabbah lines up with Shimon Levi, and Rabbah lines up with Rabbi Yochanan, so we should pass him like Rabbah. The response to that would be is that when you have these Kol HaPsach sometimes, they only hold if it's a machlokas A and B and that's it. But when you have multiple, when the machlokas, you know, cuts across multiple generations, multiple parties, so then you may no longer be able to rely upon the klal hapsach. If anything, the other klal that may come into play here is what's known as hilchasa kivasarai, that we always pass can like the latest, the most recent authorities. So anyway, be that as it may, the Gemara leaves that as a machlokas with Shimon Levi and with Yochanan. And now the Gemara continues at the two dots. Itmar b'sei kamenos tolo. Okay, very nice. So now we have had a debate and discussion as to why you have to say b'fanei nechtam. When you give the woman the get, in front of how many witnesses does he have to say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? Now, one of the questions that I didn't see any of the Rishonim ask here, I'm going to scratch that for a second. Never mind. Okay. It's a reason I need to ask you. So, just cut that out. So, how many witnesses do you have to give in front of? Obviously, how many people do you have to give in front of? Obviously, how many people should have to be, a bare minimum? I think my question is actually still a good question. Now, what would be the bare minimum? Zero, one, two, three, or more. I give you five choices. One. How many agree with Ephraim? Okay. How many disagree with Ephraim? How many have no opinion or won't venture an opinion? You don't want to venture an opinion. I see. Okay. It's hard to hide in the share. So Ephraim, can you explain your one? Or Jake, can you explain Ephraim's one? I have a problem with his one, but maybe he's solving the problem with one. So Jake, you want to support one. Why should one be sufficient?
Well, it definitely has to be to someone because you're talking to someone.
No. Why can't, I'm asking, it could be zero. You go to the Isha and say, this is your get, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam.
Maybe if you need two aidim, you could make yourself an aid, and that's two.
Was that what you were thinking, Brian?
Well, I misunderstood the question. I was thinking about how many people are sort of present in total.
My answer
amounted to zero.
Zero, okay. So Jake is correct. It should be a starting point of discussion. It's the question that's still floating around in my head, and I realize it's not really a question on the Gemara, but the way some of the Rishonim, I guess in a certain respect that the Gemara handles it, there's a problem here. Don't you need Eidei Mesirah for the get? The Shas Mesirah Saget is when the Shaliach, the get is Chal, when the Shaliach gives the get to the Isha. You should require, and I think we do, two Eidim that the husband was Maman of the Shaliach gave him the get, and two Eidim that the get gave that the Shaliach gave the get to the Isha. So when he's handing over the get, the Fana Netham, Fana Netham, he's a Shaliach Laholacha, clearly, and therefore, it should be required to have two witnesses. So what Jake said might be correct, if that's a discussion subsequently, Gemara, that the Shaliach not to aid, the Shaliach himself, plus somebody else can witness the Mesirah Saget as he gives it to her, if you say that a Shaliach can turn into an aid, he can count that as one of the Eidim. But without that, I would have thought, as a Deborah question, that it doesn't work. And the reason why I say that in my question might really be a question, because the Gemara says that if all you need is lishma, then two witnesses are sufficient. And the way I think that we show them just to understand that is that in case there are any questions about it, you have two witnesses out with lishma. But aren't there two witnesses needed anyway? Because you need Eidim and Siron to get. So there are two possible perutzim to this question, if it's a good question. Maybe it's not a good question. Maybe I'm missing something. What are the two possible answers?
This shita that Eidim Chasim will work as Eidim and Siron.
So one way is to understand is the Rambam and the Rishter, which is as Eidim Chasim HaKarta. And the only other way I think to get around it is to say that the Kash is only Ali with the Rabbi Meir. I don't really want to say that. But the question is, what is Rabbeinu Tam going to do with this Gemara? Rabbeinu Tam, who says that it's Dafka Eidei Mesira. So, again, the Gemara is not so much what Feirish gets, so we'll read the Gemara, but the requirement for two witnesses is there not because of the Shema, but it's there because you need Eidim from Mesira Saget. Again, unless you say this Gemara is just working with Rabbi Meir.
So, Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Amir can be after the Mesira, no?
You're saying that it's a case where Bafanai Nechtam and Bafanai Nechtam, he did the Mesiris again, and Tofti Deidiba, those two Eidim went poof. And now the question, or you're saying, right, and what you're saying when he says Bafanai Nechtam, and we're not necessarily, in other words, you could give it again in front of the witnesses, but for Bafanai Nechtam, because you need two witnesses, because they didn't see your character, it won't be again otherwise. But if you want to tell Bafanai Nechtam, what you have to do in most cases, or you can voluntarily do, as some of you, if you got that far in the Gemara, and Eretz Yisrael, you can volunteer b'fanai nechtam. Like, voluntarily, you can do that, and it gives you added security to the get. The husband can no longer challenge you. If you remember, the Mishnah said that hamedi get Eretz Yisrael, ein etzar chlamer b'fanai nechtam, v'nyeshalav orim yiskayim b'chosama. So we're going to see on the top of Bava Mabeis that somebody, was it Rebbe? Who was it? No, it was Rav. Rav who said, Rav said that even though you don't need to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, it will work. It's mahani, so that the husband can no longer challenge you. You don't need to, because in Eretz Yisrael, where Eidim HaMatzrim, within the Eretz Yisrael, Eidim HaMatzrim L'Kayim, and we're not worried about it, but should the husband come and challenge you, you have to be M'Kayim the get. So here, by the age saying b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, even though he doesn't need to, that works for Kiyum HaGet. And as it works, in other words, it's a cool on Eretz Yisrael, it's not a kula and a chum. So the kula is you don't have to say b'fanai nechtam. Maybe get the Kohar to Salah, presumably be Tof Medina. But if you do say b'fanai nechtam, then you also, you close the door to any challenges by the husband. Subsequently, the woman wouldn't have to do anything. So anyway. So Ephraim, you want to suggest that, in a situation where you had Eidim Sira, but maybe subsequently, and again, we assume you have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, if you gave the get within Tov Kedei Dibur. I think that's what the Rishonim assume. So you want to say that maybe somehow, magically, those two Eidim disappear, or it's Eretz Yisrael, where you don't really have to say b'fanai nechtam, and maybe there, we're discussing what you would need. It's a lot to...
You just tell them not to go back to their phones. They have to keep their eyes open for another minute.
What's that?
Keep their eyes open for another minute and not go back to their phones.
Got it. Okay. Yes. All right. Fine. So the Gemara says, Itmar v'tnei kam en oslan rabbi yochanam rechanina chanam rechanina chanam rechanam 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 Zil havle ba'api tray. Ve'im alehu b'fanay nitzal b'fanay nechtam. So the Gemara says, Tisayin. Yep, that's a good proof. That seems pretty clear. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says two. And then the Gemara says, okay, so what are they arguing about? So lema b'halka m'palki. The man da amar b'tnei shnayim pasavar l'fei she'in b'kiyin l'shma. Uman da amar b'tnei shnosha pasavar l'fei she'in l'mitzuyin l'kayim. So the Gemara suggests that the machlokas is totally upon the machlokas about why you need to give the get, which is if you hold your only two witnesses, that's an antidote to any question. That's it's really two witnesses for Issa Behetta, namely that it's Lishma, that it was written Lishma. If you say you need three, it's because since the function of B'fanai Nechtam is to be mekayim the get, so you don't, so the husband can never challenge it, because ain't him sin the kaimo. So kiyum shtaros requires three people, even though we have a very, I think I've mentioned, we have a huge kula in kiyum shtaros. It's the one area in halacha where you can be, where you don't need the baal din present. We can make a mekayim the shtar, shalom if they baal din. Because kiyum shtaros is the whole requirement, it's only the rabbanim, and they will make all that you can mekayim the shtar, shalom if they baal din. Normally, every single other case of din Torah, so you know, you cannot be done individual unless they are present. But by Kiyum Shtaros they were made, but you still require three people for Kiyum Shtaros. So the Gemara suggests that the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Chanina should align with the Machlokas Rabba and Rabbas. The Gemara says, the Tisbara, Hame, the Rabbi Shuban Levi, Amar Lefei, and Jibiki, and Lishma. In the previous piece, Sukhya, we saw that Rabbi Shuban Levi was the one who held that Fanei Nechtam or Fanei Nechtam is because of the Shema. So then Rabbi Yochanan must be Amar Lefei Shein Eidim Mitzvin L'Kaimel. So it must be. If the Gemara says it was Machlokas of Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, one of them said the Shema, and one of them said Eidim Mitzvin L'Kaimel, and we've established that Shimon Levi holds A, then we know Rabbi Yochanan holds B. So if Rabbi Yochanan holds that the reason is Lefei Shein Eidim Mitzvin L'Kaimel, so then the Gemara says, that two witnesses, it's enough to say in front of two witnesses. So, the Gemara says, okay, Ella, that can't be the mouth focus. The whole Emma be in an Eden, Mitsuyim, Lekaim. Everybody agrees that the reason why, in this mouth focus, Rabbi Yochanan Chanina, everybody agrees that the need is because of Kiyum Shtaros, is because Ein Eidim Mitzvin L'Kaimel. So you're doing Kiyum now. So now the question is, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that you only need two? Kiyum Shtaros is with three. So the Gemara suggests a couple of possibilities, which are, that was question number one. And question number two is, Vaha, Rabba, Islay, the Rabba. Forget Rabbi Yochanan. Forget who's who. How can anybody say two people are sufficient in which to say the funai nechtam in front of? Everybody agrees that there's a concern of ein eidim mitzvin l'kaimel, and therefore everybody should agree that this is functioning as a kiyum shtaros, and therefore everybody should agree that you require three. How can anybody? I don't care who, which, when, where, why. Everybody should require three. So the Gemara says the following: El b'chulei am avi inu eidim mitzvin l'kaimel. Ha'cha b'shaliach nasa eved nasa dayin kam b'palim. The machlokas here is whether or not the principle that shliach is nasa aid implies that an aid can be nasa adai. So shliach nasa aid is a machlokas, I think, Rav and Debei Rav Yanai in Kiddushin Daf Mem Gimel. The question is the following: a man sends a shliach to be mekadesh and isha for him. How many witnesses do you need for the kiddushin? Well, the answer is obvious. How many witnesses do you need for kiddushin? Two. So what's the question? The question is, can the shaliach himself serve as a witness? And that's the machlokas. The Gemara, two versions of who said what. One of the most amazing things, parenthetically, in that sugya, I just heard the Rav of my shul gave a Shabbos Shubadrasha yesterday, where the issue that he was grappling with was how can you have tshuva and tzibur? In other words, if Ephraim is a scoundrel, how can I do tshuva for him? What does it mean to do tshuva as a tzibur? Other than a bunch of us all get together and we each do tshuva for our own sins. So I'm a scoundrel in one way, he's a scoundrel. Another way, Yoni's not a scoundrel. Jake is a scoundrel. Shimi, of course, is a scoundrel. So I understand we each have nisim also as well. So I understand how it is that we, each of us who needs to do tshuva can do tshuva, but what does it mean tshuva as a tzibur? So I don't think he fully close the loop. What I would assume, he spoke about shlichus a little bit. And I know I've actually spoke to you guys about this issue, but I found another Gemara which sort of highlights that when you have a shliach tzibur, the concept of shliach tzibur is that he's fusing everybody together, and the shliach tzibur is everybody, right? Shlichus shalav kamoso is not, I'm a male delivery person, or I can perform for you. It means I become you. When a shliach gives a woman a get, and that's the act of gerushin. How can it be gerushin? How has it been asam biyada? The husband's not giving it to her. The answer is the shaliach is the husband. So the reason I mention that only because this Gemara in Kiddushin of Daf Mem Gimel explaining the shita of ein shaliach nasa'id says The reason is that the shaliach can't be an aid because the mishaleach can't be an aid, right? Because the shaliach is a bal davar. And the Gemara is the lashon, the shaliach is kigufo shaleid, the kigufo shal mishaleach. In other words, the shaliach is, if a man sends a shaliach to be mekadesh isha for him, in almost all respects, there's one exception, you can't do kiddushei biyah, but in all other respects, he is the husband, so he, of course he can't be an aid because he's the bal davar. So it's a really interesting formulation of that, but it speaks again to the nature of what does it mean to be a shaliach. Shaliach really becomes the bal davar in almost all respects. So anyway,
about the tshuva thing.
Mm-hmm.
About the tshuva thing. I know this is conscious, but I don't quite see how someone else can do, sounds like someone else can do tshuva for you.
Well, it's not that he alone, it's not that you're not doing tshuva. What happens when you have a tzibur come together. Again, he didn't say it was the shaliach tzibur. He was trying to somehow explain why the entity of the tzibur, how we do tshuva together. So I don't know, why did he bring in shlichus? Wasn't clear. So maybe I don't know. There are maybe other ways of explaining this. It's easier, I think, to explain this if you think about achrayus, about arvus, and responsibility. If you want another, then it's a little bit easier to understand. You can have tshuva and tzibur together. But I may have missed something. But anyway, I mentioned it just because I was thinking about that question of what it means to be shluch shel adam kamoso. And the answer is shluch shel adam kamoso means literally that. Shaliach, in almost all respects, becomes the person. You know, with the exception of what you might call mitzvah shebagufo, right? In the same way that, you know, you can be, I can be motzi you maybe. I can be motzi you tefillah. I can be motzi you brachos. I can be motzi you birchas hamazon. But I can't be motzi you netilas lulav. I can make the bracha for you, but I can't pick up the lulav for you. That doesn't work. I can't wear tefillin for you. I can make the brachos for you, but I can't wear tefillin because it's a mitzvah shebagufo. So in the same sense, anything that's not a mitzvah shebagufo, the shaliach is mamish like the person. Also, once we're saying this, Yoni, just sort of something to think about. I'll give you an analog where it's actually much closer. Again, I don't know what it means in the context of tshuva. What happens if you have two people together? One of them knows how to bench. Well, two people together, can one bench for the other? And the answer is mitzvah lechalek. If it's two people, we pass machatchila, each is supposed to bench for one another. What if you don't know how to bench? Can the other person bench for you? The answer is yes. Shomei ha'kaon, it can be motzi. What happens if you have three people together? So you all know that what do we do with three people? It's asur l'chalek. So what do they do? Make a mezuman. What does it mean to make a mezuman? In other words, in a mezuman is the mevarech, the mezamein, is he being motzi the other people and like a shomei ha'kaon type thing? The answer is no. So we often don't do this because people bench themselves because they won't pay attention. But al pidin, what's supposed to be done is that the mezamein benches the entire thing out loud. Everybody else remains silent. They might ask somebody, but that's it. His bracha is the collective bracha of all of them. It's coming out of his mouth, but it's birchas kulam. As opposed to if it's two people where there's no mezuman, I can be motzi you with my benching, but that's like a shomei ha'kaon. Mezuman is not shomei ha'kaon. Mezuman is the bracha of the klal. That's a kind of, we don't use the term shlichus there, but in a certain sense, he is like a shaliach, and he's literally kimosa. They're all benching. It's birchas kulam. It's not, he's motzi them with his brach. So, okay. But anyway, so that's the Gemara in Kibushin. So shliach nasa aid is assumed to be the maskana here. The question is, can an aid be nasa adayim? So the case of a nasa adayim would be the following. Two people, I don't know, you have a, two people saw Reuven steal money from Shimon. So those two people come and they testify in front of one of the fellow Reuven stole money from Shimon, but they're also testifying in front of themselves, and therefore the three of them will now of course be done. Which is of course problematic on other grounds because these two witnesses can't really be done something because they already know the truth, or they think they know the truth. But putting that aside, so the Gemara says the following. That Pligi not only can a shliach come an aid, but an aid come a dayan as well. And therefore, the aid who comes and says, once he's done that, he joins with the other two, and they effectively have done Siyum Shtaros. And Manda Amar Bifnei Shlosha, Kasava Shliach Nasa Eid, but the Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. An Eid can't become a Dayan. So now the Gemara says, oh, but Bakayim Alam Bid Rabbanan Eid Nasa Dayan. We paskin, well, Eid Nasa Dayan might be a big machlokas. And by the way, without going further into it, there are two kinds of Eidim that we talk about being Nasa Dayan. Is it Eid HaRoah and is it Eid HaMeir? It's easier to understand how an Eid HaRoah might be able to bite man because they're dying. He doesn't testify. He just happens to have also seen the events himself. Whereas in Eid HaMeid being a dying is a much bigger chiddush. And I think that we actually kind of make distinctions. I think that we say, not sure, I think we say that by Dina Nefashos we may pass him that even an Eid HaRoah cannot be a dying because he cannot judge, he cannot acquit. And a death penalty case requires the Hitzilu Haida, the potential to acquit him. By a Mamonos case, I think by most middle cases we say that an Eid HaMeid cannot be a Dayan, but an Eid HaRoah can be a Dayan. And then when you were talking about something that's completely Rabbanon, then even an Eid HaMeid can be a Dayan. So the Gemara therefore rejects this possibility because Eid Nasa Dayan should work by the Rabbanon, and the requirement of Fanei Nechlam, is in the Rabbanon. So Ela B'hacha B'hacha Mepalim. The Mar Savar came in the Ishak Sheir L'Habi Yisaget. The Zimna in the Maisi Ve'itit HaVesam Chela. Ve'idach Isha Meida Yadi V'lasam Chela. So the concern is the following. Our Girsa, as Tosis points out, is Isha. It could also have been a puzzle, a Karov. If a Karov came, the fear is the following. If you allow only two Dayanim in the cases where the aid is a man and he's kosher and can join the Beis Din, and eventually you'll forget that you acquire a Beis Din, and sometimes an Isha can bring a karget, as we know the Mishnah in the second parak, and we really learn that Mishnah. Isha's may be a skita, and she'll say b'fanach b'fanei necham. And Karov can bring it. So we're afraid that in those cases, that they will also not require a third kosher dayan, because they'll say, oh, we always do it with two. So therefore they would go so that you should have to have a third. But everybody agrees in principle that if you had just the aid who was a regular aid kosher who was married before and if he should be able to help you then hop onto the basin and then they could sign off on this because it would be like having Siyum Shtaros.
Okay.
Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yochanan. You have a brace for that. Confirms Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Maybe you get Medina Sam and ask the love of the Omer Lab of Fanai Nifla of Fanai Nach, the Yotzi of Lad Mamzer, the Vermeer, Chacham Omer, and have Lad Mamzer. So, I suppose a man came, I'm sorry, someone brought a get from overseas and they didn't say, he didn't say Mephanei. They got to do it. So Rameh says that Yotzi of Lavan Mamzer. The Gemara will explain that in a second. Why? Rameh says after he gets divorced, she's committed adultery to whomever she married after receiving this get, and the children are Mamzer. And the Rabbanon say no. The Chachamim say, the Chachamim ain't of Lavan Mamzer. The Lavan Mamzer aren't under any circumstances. Because Meikar, then she's Megureshes. But Ketzel Yaseh, what can you do in order to make it Lechatchila that she can get married or that she shouldn't have to get divorced from the current husband? Ketzel Yaseh, Lenu Heimena, V'yaseh 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 V'y So the Braisa says, according to the Rabbanan who argue Rabbi Meir, and they argue about something else, the solution to the problem is to take it back and give it again, and this time, in the presence of the two people, say b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechta. So the fact that here you're saying shnayim indicates that Rabbi Yochanan is correct, that when you give it in the first place, Rabbi Meir says you should have done it that way in the first place. Chacham say you can even do it now. But you see that it's only b'fanei shnayim. Okay. So now the Gemara just asks, Rav Meir, Mishum, Bala, Amar, Abifanai, Nechta, Rafa, Nechta, Yoti, Vavad, Mamzer? Really? For this Hidur, this Chumrah, this Gezeira, I understand it's important to do. We have to follow all the Eretz Rabbanan. But, to say the child of Mamzer, that's staggering. So the Gemara says, yeah. The Gemara says, yes, that's Rabbi Meir's approach. In Rabbi Meir, the Tamei, that Mamzer, Amunam, Shmeid, Ula, Omar, Rav Meir, Kalam, Shalom, Yom, Beis, Tavu, Chacham, and Begit, Yoti, Vavad, Mamzer. I mean, Meir Shita says, if you depart from any of the procedures the Chacham specified, even though it should have been your question in the Torah, so mid the Rabbanon, because you violated the Rabbanon, you misham their Be'er Shetel Chachamim, so they have to get divorced, this woman who effectively, unintentionally committed adultery with this invalid get, and the children would be involved in it. It's a kind of extreme Shita. But if you're trying to make sure people do things right, sometimes you need to have harsh penalties, I guess. That was Rabbi Meir Shita. It was a hard liner on kids. Okay. And the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say just because you're Mishana doesn't mean it makes the get possible to make the Torah from Adam. So Tosus points out that even if you didn't take the get back and give it to the Isha again with a Banei Nachtam, the children would not be Mamzer. Okay.
So
any questions?
About Rabbi Meir. So is he saying that there are Skarabana Mamzerim? Are there, like, what is
that? Is an excellent question. So there are two possibilities. I imagine the question will be discussed probably more later in the Masechta where the original Mishnah is quoted. But one possibility is to say that no, it's a Mamzer Drabanan, and you have the Chumra is the Raisa Chumra Drabanan. Who can a Mamzer Drabanan marry?
Mamzer Shmi Drabanan?
Mishnah, yes, provided that it's the same kind of Mamzer. There is another possibility, a simple possibility. There's only one male Yichus that can marry any Jewish woman. I'm choosing my formulation very carefully. There is no Jewish woman who can marry, there's no category of Yichus of a woman who can marry any Jewish man. I can show you one, you know how many categories there are of Yichusin? Correct. Asar Yochsin Azru. I mean, you could count them differently if you wanted. But using the Mishnah's structure or typology, so there are Asar Yochsin Alu Imezra Mibava. Of those 10, there's a woman who can marry 9. There is no woman who can marry 10. You have to know one little fact of Halacha, which is a Machlokas of Yosef, or Yehuda, but we pass it off Yosef. And a Ger is Mutter B'Mamzeris. And a Gioris is Mutter B'Mamzer. Therefore, a Ger can marry Bas Kohen, Bas Levi, Bas Yisrael, a Halala, I don't know who else, Messina, a Mamzeres, a Shtufi, Asufi, and I don't know I'm forgetting what the last, Shtufi and Asufi, and who am I missing? Kohen maybe, so. Whoever. I believe the ger is situated where he can marry anything. A georis can marry everybody except for a kohen. So, bottom line, the only that one person the mamzer drabanan can marry is a georis. But I think Ephraim's correct, shouldn't he?
Why would a ger be able to marry a mamzeres?
Because kahal gerim lo ikri kahal. It's machlokas Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yosef.
Are there children considered mamzerim?
No.
Huh.
In fact, but they're still not called for kahal, so there's no iser. By mamzer, it's loyavam mamzer b'kal Hashem. But there's no iser on a ger marrying into the kahal, so the ger, only iser on the ger and a kahal is a kohen marrying a georis. That's not because of ger, that's because a georis is halachically considered automatically a zon, regardless if she, you know, the way we paskin, even if she converted from under the age of 3 years and a day. So, the technical categorization. I mean, she wasn't born b'kedush asisara. That's really what it means. But outside of that, there are no restrictions of the gear. So yeah.
Is the category of mamzer midrabanan morally troubling?
A what?
Is the category of mamzer midrabanan morally troubling?
I have so many ways I can respond to that. Is the category of mamzer midaraisa not morally troubling? As I was bothered by it.
But God did it, so we can sort of shrug and say, I guess God knows better.
Do we actually have mamzer midaraisan? I mean, like
this man. Firstly, we don't pass it from there. It's not that you can't have a mamzer midaraisan. I don't know if we have any cases that we actually have such a thing. We have very few mamzerim d'oraisa as well. We strive our best to avoid them. In fact, I would say, on other grounds, the first abortion tshuva that I'm aware of in Jewish history was actually over a mamzer question. In other words, it was tshuva of Yaakov Emden, about a woman who had married a woman who had an affair. And the question is, could she abort the fetus? I think he was Mako, whatever. That's where the first discussion begins. So Mamzerus is pretty rare. Not that it's non-existent, but, you know, it's a relatively rare thing. We do everything we can to avoid it. So, anyway, so is the category, you know, I would say Rabbi Meir, I don't know what Rabbi Meir would tell you, but I don't think, it's a common issue. The Mamzer drop on it. Mamzer derisa is not common. The Mamzer drop on it is probably non-existent, so.
But he's making it very easy to happen, like.
What's that?
He's making it rather easy to occur, like take one wrong step and then Mamzer drop on it.
Yeah. You know, listen, we also, I'm not negating the question. We are more highly individualistic than that was part of the theme of yesterday's Shabbat, the Shuvah Drasha. We are much, as a society, Western society, and particularly American society, is far more individualistic than, you know, the Torah's vision. Torah's a much more communitarian vision.
Abanim is a biblical concept.
Ephraim, I know. I understand that. Avosenu chatzu ve'enam v'anatzma avonaseihem savonim. You know, just remember, the correct response to you, which is mefshat, even though Chazal were more inclined to see your way, is yes, lo yimsu avosabim, but poked avonavos abanim. And the pshat resolution there, even as our Rashbam says it, is kam bidei beisin and kam bidei shemayim. Beisin cannot punish a parent or one person for the sins of another, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu does. There are plenty of states.
And this is bidei beisin.
No, they're not administering any punishment. It's just an issur imposed upon them.
In
the same way that that mamzerus is a punishment imposed upon the child because of the parent. Bavon and the Darim Bonim Mason. Bavon. Yeah, okay. So I agree. We're not, the basis not doing anything to anybody. The status that makes this person's life miserable is imposed upon them by God.
Well, it's the Rabbanon, so it's like the Rabbanon are imposing it that God is.
Okay, but it's still not basis. In other words, the Yumsu Avos Abanim, which, as you know, that I think is a bedrock principle. It's not just a halacha, it's a bedrock principle of Yadus, of Torah. Nonetheless speaks about based in punishing individual situations. It's not speaking to system of law that says that the consequences of act X are, right? In other words, if the father murders, to kill the child for murder is laying himself in a bunker. If the father commits adultery and produces a child, as the Torah says, the mom's there, that's not laying himself in a bunker, right? That is a child. It's true. There's a moral, there's a theological challenge there. Chazal acknowledged it. When they try to interpret Kokei Tavonavos Abanim away, that's effectively what they're doing. And in terms of avoiding the Pshat resolution, and by the way, you realize that even Chazal don't fully solve it. Some of the Rishonim grapple with it. What's the resolution to Kokei Tavonavos Abanim?
If they are Osamas Avos?
So here's my question to you. Okay, so let's say a person's father is a sinner, and then their child sins. Should they be punished for their parent's sins? Right? This doesn't really solve the problem. Because it's still okay to one of us on it. You know, the difference, but listen, when someone does, you know, you have cases like this, and sometimes legal systems, for whatever reasons, do it this way. But you can have someone who, well, I wouldn't suppose this, someone two people commit the same crime, but we are often much less sympathetic to the person who is either a repeat offender or the person who has a rap sheet that longer than my arm, and so on. When we're less sympathetic, but fundamentally the crime should be punished the same way. The magnitude of the crime is the same. The impact on the victim is the same. Nonetheless, we tend to be more sympathetic, to the person who gets the extra punishment who's a bad guy in the first place. At the end of the day, it's not fair. It should be the same punishment. And to punish wicked children for the sins of their parents requires an explanation. Punish them for their own sins, not for their parents' sins. So whatever, some of them talk about that. You know, on Chumash, trying to explain how does Chazal's resolution solve it. But the Pshat, anyways, Poked Avos Abanim, God visits the iniquities as opposed to Beisdin. So that is, I'm not suggesting it's not theologically troubling, but that is what Mamzer is. And so Mamzer Rabbanon is called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kedar Isikikun. I know it's not a fully satisfactory answer, but nonetheless. Okay. I know that the question is a little bit, but this question doesn't bother me so much, but, you know, Mamzeris is a question. It's a question.
Of course, there's a sequence to all of this.
Pilagshus?
No, it's just more Gary. Yeah.
Well, yes, this is touche.
Daniel should be here.
I follow Daniel. I'm with Daniel, Sandy. That's the problem. Okay. So anyway, bottom line, the Gemara says that, all this is only quoted because you see, what do? You give it in front of two. So that's the Bryce and support, sports recipe. Okay. Now any questions? But so far. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. And this is a very important Gemara on how to read it because it again, this is one of the riots that the right is going to bring for Pshat Halacha. Bar Hadaya Boyla's third last in the narrow line. Bar Hadaya Boyla Suye Gita. Bar Hadaya wanted to be a Shaliach for a get. But he understood that you have to do things kedashu kedem. So before becoming a Shaliach for a get, before going to observe the get, do whatever you have to do, so he came and he asked the Shaila to Asala Kame de Ra'achi de Hava Meluna Agite. He came to Rav Achi, who was the person officially in charge of getting, I don't know what place he was in, whatever city it was, he was the I don't want to say the Masada getting, he was the Baki in getting. Rashi writes here that Kosha and Yodea, big kid getting the Kiddush Malay, the Asik Yimai. If a person doesn't know what they're doing, they're not an expert in getting or in Kiddush, and they shouldn't be involved in doing getting or doing Kiddush. So he went to Bar Hadaya and he asked him a Shaila. And the answer, Amar Le, we're not told what the text of the Shaila was, Tzarech Atalama Kol Osvos. You have to be there for every single letter. Every single letter. So what was he at? What was the question? So the way most understand, the way Rashi understands, was, do you have to be there? What part do you have to be here for the get to be done in the Shema? That was the question. And he told them, every single letter, you got to watch them do it in Shema. Asala kame de ra'ami ra'asi, amri lei lo tzrichos. They told him it's unnecessary. You don't need to hear every letter. V'chitem et ha'ave b'chumra. You say, oh, I'll be machner. I like to do mahadrin, min ha'mahadrin. Nimta tamoti la'az al-kifin harishon. If you adopt chumras by gittin, that might give the impression that the other ways of doing it are puzzle. You're being motzi laz al gittin harishonim, which is deeply problematic. The Rush here, the Hagosa Shri here, quotes an interesting practice. I don't know what we actually do in our gittin. But he says that it's on one of the first pages. He says, it's in a Siman Gimel, that the Sefer HaTshuma says you're not allowed to be mizayin the letters in the get of Shatnez Gash. You know, to be mezayin, mezayin means to put like three zayins on the top. The letter Shatnez Gates get in a Sefer Torah, three letters on the top. You know what the coolest looking word in the Torah is? It's very, once you start to look carefully, it's going to strike you. Well, what word in the Torah is going to have the most crowns on it? More of these zayins, should say. Which word is going to have the most number of these letters in it?
Shatnez.
Exactly. Shatnez. Look at the word Shatnez, which I think occurs twice, once in Mayikra, once in Kedoshim, and once in Kizeze. I know because I spent a year going through the Sefer Torah, the new Sefer Torah we bought, you know, early on in the pandemic. And so I was going just checking the Sefer Torah, checking the Chesed, a lot of them, the thing, the God was very weak, and checking for other things. And when you look at the word Shatnez, when you're looking at the Sefer Torah that way, not just the guy who's reading too quickly, it jumps off the page because every single letter has got these three signs on it because Shatnez Gats is the mnemonic. So Shatnez, literally, every one of those letters has the three Zions on it. It's really, really striking. If I had a picture, I would show you. I'm not going to roll the Sefer Torah for that, but it's really, really striking having those Zions. So some wanted to put Zions on it in the get, and he said, you're not allowed to, because if you come to Nishan and the Megan, the Mimotzi Laz, I'll give them Harishon. And then he has other issues as well. He says that if the Sofrim Many of the Sofim aren't Bucky in doing it. That's an impossible Sefer Torah, by the way. The lack of those signs does not invalidate the Sefer Torah, so he's afraid some Sofim wouldn't know how to do it. But there was, he does quote the Ritzvah, I assume his name is the Ritzvah, who was Medaktik, and he says, although I find this to be unbelievable, you're not high on writing on Shabbos, so you don't put the Zions on it properly. So therefore it's not considered a letter without these tagim, without these crowns, and therefore you have to do it. And the Sefer Truma rejects it. Okay. And the Hagos HaShlit claims, at least at the minute, I guess not like, it's like the Sefer Truma. They don't write them in the get. If you ask me, what do Sofim actually write in the get? I have no clue. I've only ostensibly seen a get once, and it was 30 years ago. So I have no recollection whatsoever. Okay. So anyway, so this is generally a concern. You're not allowed to do things. You're not allowed to have Hidurim in a get that in any way can be Motzi Laz Algitim Harishon. So that's where Rashi said you can't do it. You don't need to do it, and you shouldn't do it. Now again, it's not that you can't be there to watch the entire get, but you can't be mocked. You can't be mocked to be there to watch the entire get. That casts aspersions. Okay.
This response of Rav Amin was asking is once he reached out to Israel with the get already?
No, it's Rav Ami and Rav Asi. I suspect that it's, that's what the correct, I mean, the Hagos Tzitzin corrects, because it's Rav, he corrects it to Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Both of them he corrects, actually.
They're the doppelgangers?
No, because Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi are Rabbi Yochanan's students there. It's Rav Ami and Rav Asi. It's through Shon Klim all the time. I assume it's correct. I assume that point is not in question, but I don't know for sure. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, I think, were Talmidim of Rav. So they're missing the Yud. That little Yud stripped them of their real smicha. So you were saying that...
Smicha go out?
I'm sorry?
When did real smicha go out?
Nobody in Babel except for Rav probably has it, because he came from Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael was probably fourth generation or something like that. We don't know exactly. So what was your... What did you say? So let's assume this is an Eretz Yisrael wall. I'm going to stick with Rabbi Amir Vasi. Just keep it simple. So it's an Eretz Yisrael. And they're saying basically, you're not allowed to insist. Or I don't know, maybe it is in Babel. They brought it to Babel. So the question, well, then you wouldn't need the Shema though. So you promise if it's an Eretz Yisrael, you don't need the Shema. That's probably why he wants to make it in Babel. So that's, of course, assuming that it's the Shema issue. Assuming it's a Lishma issue, which it sounds like it's how most Rishonim read it, but it creates problems. Why does it create problems? Because the Maskana of the Gemara is Shita Achas is sufficient, but even Cain Kolmusa and Cain Megilta. And the question is, why do you need to have these things Lishma? So there is another Shita, the Rashba talks about this. Whether this is a riot to those who want to pass them like Rabbah, like the Ravid. I don't think he names the Ravid. But I think he quotes a Ramban who says that no, that the reason why, the Gemara is not talking about the issue of Lishma. It's just in order to say B'fanai Nitha, B'fanai Nitha, it has to be B'fanai Nitha, B'fanai Nitha. You know, that you have to see part of it. So I know there are complications if you've learned the beginning of the second paragraph. The Mishnahis and so on. But that's how the Ramban, I think, wants to first to explain the Gemara, to avoid the implication that the Gemara is passing like Rabbah, because that's not what we want to have. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Rabba Barchana Aisi Gita, Paga Ichtab Kameh, Paga Lo Ichtab Kameh. Asala Kameh the Rabbi Elazar. So he had brought a guest, probably to Eretz Yisrael. Who is Rabba Barchana? A Talmudov? Quotes him all the time. Rabbi Yechanan. So he's a Talmudov. But here, I imagine he's coming from Kutzlarek. And he brings the get half written before, half written up for him. Also, the comment Rabbi Lazar, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan also. Amarlei, a few little fuss about the Shita Achas Lishma, Shuv Einotzer. Even if only one line is written Lishma, you don't need to say anything else. You assume that if he had the Shema on that line, he had it on the rest of the get. I think one of the Rishonim says it has to be, the first poster says, it has to be the first line, Mistama, he finished it with Shema. So then Ravashi says, no, afilu kan kumusav kan megilta, even if you hear the sounds of him fixing the pen and he's saying, I'm doing this for shame, to write this get to so-and-so and so-and-so, or drawing the lines of the get, any of those things, or cutting the parchment, I should say, so all of those things are sufficient to establish if he starts the Shema, then he continues the Shema. So the Gemara says, Tanya kevased Ravashi, and maybe get me the sound, I feel who bias is so far baliya, who baliya is so far bias, I feel nichnas v'yotze koyim kulo kosher, even if they're in separate rooms, and that must be kan kol musa and kan megilta. How does he know that so far doing the Shema? Because he hears, he doesn't see the writing, but he hears him scratching into the paper, cutting the paper, he hears him, making the quill somehow, fine. So the Gemara says, how can the Brisa say it's good? He doesn't see the sofer. Okay, must be that he hears. Now you might ask a very good question here. You don't have to see the writing of the get to say it's sufficient to hear the sofer announce his intention to Shema. What question might you ask on something I think we learned earlier? Or maybe we didn't learn it earlier. It's a Mishnah later. We didn't learn it. We didn't count it earlier. We did. I think. Maybe yes. Maybe no. Doesn't it? Why can't a blind person say b'fanei nechta? Jake, were you going to say something?
Because you didn't see it.
You
can't see the signatures.
Neither did this guy. So you're saying something close to one of the approaches that the Rush quotes, which is, the Rush quotes two approaches to this problem. So one approach, which is, I think, close to what you're saying, is the Rush is in Simon Gimel. So he suggests that they heard him, and then they had to get, and, one second. One more second. Is that you have to see the clock after it's been written, at least, and you recognize if it's Tzvias Ayin. Which is a little odd. You recognize, you look at it, you see this is the clock. Maybe you never saw it in the first place. Unless what it means is, I mean, he brushes not clear. First of all, you don't need the Shema when you make the quill or you cut the parchment. You need the Shema when you write it or you have it signed or both. So it sounds like you hear them saying the Shema, although it doesn't fit in the Gemara, when they're fixing the pen. It may even mean that you see the clock before it's written on, anything's written on it. You saw them, they said, oh, I'm cutting this clock because we're going to write a get for so-and-so. And now you don't see the writing of the get at all. After that, you go down to the other room. You don't see the writing of the get at all. But because you knew they already started the process of Lishma, it's sufficient that you can say, that you can look at the get and say, yeah, this is the same piece of paper they had. The only problem is that it doesn't sound like in the Gemara, you have to see the piece of paper before. It sounds literally, you just hear. That was what the Rush answered. He then quotes Tosis as a different answer, because it's near a chakra. Because how can the Shaleah, who is blind, come and say, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta? Right. It looks like he, you know, it's, blind people don't see. It can't be done. I mean, he could say, he can't know b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Okay, but anyway, be that as it may, the Gemara says that is sufficient. Now the Gemara just asks, Amar Mar, Tamete and the Braisa, Afilo nifnas viyote kaleim kulo kosher. Man, ile mashlea ashtahu babais sofer valia dolochazi nei amris kosher, nifnas viyote mi boy. If you are willing to be mashir, where the sofer and the shaliach are never in the same room together, certainly, you're going to be mafshir in a case where he's nechnas v'yotze. In other words, with a greater, it's not really mirtas, but the point is, he sees what the sofer is working on. He heard the sofer announce his intentions originally as was lishma. So now he comes in and out. Certainly, it's better than if he never walks in to see the sofer writing. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha, the yotze v'nichnas, I'm sorry, again, ela sofer. It must be that the sofer was yotze v'nichnas, it's good. We must have tzricha. Mishum nedechase yotze v'nichnas. Because the sofer goes in and out of the room. You're going to make what he does possible? So the Gemara says, no. Amot tzricha, v'nachach meshukha. He goes out to the shofar. Va'asa, and he comes back. And he finishes to get. Now, he may have thought that maybe we should rephrase that. When he went out to the shuk, he discovered another Yosef and Shimon who wanted to divorce a Rachel Bas Yaakov and changed and started writing the get with shame that person, which happened to be the exact same person that he was writing the get for in the first place. You might have thought that was the case. Kamashma, we're not concerned about that. Okay. Fine. All right. Any questions so far? I say any questions because I'm going to leave it at this. I'll take some other questions for just a few minutes and then I'm not going to start the next topic, which is Bavel. Fine.
The fact that the two Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan seem to say that Rabbi Yochanan is about the Shema in contrast to the way we reminded Rabbi Yochanan earlier.
It would work better if it's Rav. What is it? I'd say it would work better if it's Rav.
I was referring to Rabbi Yochanan and Rilaza.
Yeah. So the question is everybody really goresh the Shema? I'm kind of wondering about. I have to look through the Rashi carefully, but.
The manuscripts have it.
They all have, yeah. Which still doesn't prove anything, but it would have been easier if it had some than have the Shema. I don't know. I assume that this is part of the Raivid Raya. I have to spend a little more time. If I have the time over Yoakov, actually, maybe I will actually take a look at this Ravid, what his proofs were. But it's a long Ravid, Masik on the Rift. And the Oz, at least my Oz Vahadar, it's on the second page. I would have thought that this was a, I don't see it right now, but, that's it. He quotes exactly that's the rise he breaks. This is so good. The rise is on Kimmel in my Osahar. So yeah, this is a challenging part. So the Rosh Chodesh quotes at some length discusses how it might be possible to get out of this particular riot. Yeah. But yeah, it's a challenge. All right. I'm going to stop this.